You're listening to The Wicked Horror Show, powered by the Dorkening Podcast Network. For more information, check out thedorkening.com.
This episode of Wicked Horror Show was broadcast live to Facebook. In this episode, we're joined by Jessica Cameron, and we're talking American Guinea Pig Song of Solomon. By we, I mean everyone except for me, because my computer decided to hate my guts. I really wanted to be on this one. I loved the movie. Jessica's fantastic. It's awesome. And as always, if you like what you hear, head over to facebook.com/thedorkening every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a live show just like this one. Open chat room. You can talk to the guests. I can't because my computer doesn't work. Hooray. Also, check out all the other shows on the Dorkening Podcast Network, Secret Underground Hideout, The Dorkening, Wicked Horror Show, A Dork Physique, and a new show that's replacing Ultimate Video Game Show. What will it be? So first, here's a word from our sponsor, and then enjoy the show.
Deadly Grounds Coffee knows how important your coffee is to you. Every batch is roasted to perfection with a unique special method that brings out the richest, deepest, smoothest flavor you'll ever find. We're coffee freaks too, and deadly serious about our brew. Just one sip and you'll know why we say, once you go deadly, you don't go back. It's truly coffee to die for. So when you're ready to get a little deadly, get online and order yours at getdeadly.com. It's coffee so good, it's scary.
And there we go. We are now live. With us today, we have Wolfie.
Oh, everybody.
Yo, yo.
Hey, everybody.
Tony.
What is going on, people?
And the awesome Miss Jessica Cameron.
Thank you so very much for having me. I'm honored to be here.
Thank you for joining us. So we're talking about your latest movie. And I keep on forgetting the name, American Guinea Pig, Song of Solomon.
That's it.
Got it. So unfortunately, no Kevin tonight. His computer decided to update. Josh Janot says hello, hello. Hey, Josh. So if you have any questions for the Miss Jessica, please post them in Facebook or YouTube. We'll keep an eye on both of them, and we'll get to your questions. Billy Baird joined as well. Matthew Solomons, hello, everybody. Hey, Jess.
Hi, Matthew.
So let's talk about Song of Solomon. Wolfman, you want to kick it off?
Yeah, so a few weeks ago, Kevin and I were doing a Wicked Horror review, and we chose to watch Song of Solomon. And weren't quite sure what we were in for, and then we watched it, and this is an awesome movie written and directed by Stephen Biro. Ours is Biro.
It's Biro. I always call it Biro because I just found out it was Biro, like, real recent.
And, of course, starring you. Most people would say that, I mean, they would look at this and go, it's kind of an Exorcist knockoff, but there's more to it than that. And with the way that they made this movie, I don't know. What was like, one of the hardest things for you to do while making this movie?
You know what? The hardest thing that I remember having, like, keep in mind, it's been a couple years now, but the contact lenses were so painful for the first couple of days after we had changed the bed out. So the bed for most of the film, in the first couple of days of filming, it was like a real bed. I think it was for the first day or two. And then after that, Jeremy Cruz had designed a bed that broke apart for various stunts and effects. So because of that, they rebuilt it, and they rebuilt it in the room. So something that nobody took into consideration, and I wish they had, is that when you do that, all the little microscopic particles of wood float in the air, and they stay in the air for days and days and days. So keep in mind, the contacts for Song of Solomon, I had three different sets. Two of the three were full eye contact lenses, which means you're only supposed to wear them for about 4 hours because your eye has a very hard time staying damp and lubricating itself for an extended period of time because there's just nowhere for the fluids to sort of come out. So that being said, obviously we're shooting for 12 to 15 hours, right? Because it's an indie movie. And now on top of that, when you have flex, so all of like dust and stuff just sort of like go straight to your contact lens because like the contacts are naturally absorbent. So it felt very itchy and very sore and very painful. There was even one day that my contact just like popped out and I was like, I'm sorry, there's literally nothing I can do. Like it just will not go back in. You know, sorry. So that being said, that was definitely something that we had to like work to overcome. And then on top of it, we didn't realize that you could get weighted contacts. So the contacts are not weighted, which means basically that they just kept wanting to circle and move around, right? Which normally with normal contact lenses, when your normal ones do that, you don't notice it. But because we had a goat's eye, which was a straight line, we had two irises and three irises, when they start moving and, you know, circling, it's very apparent because it's not just a normal iris.
Right.
So, and then add to that, that I was so covered in gunk and stuff that I couldn't touch it to fix it back. So Biro, and I think sometimes Marcus and a couple of the other people, if they had clean hands, I was like, who has clean hands that can like touch my eyeball? And I'd be like, no. because there's not, like, keep in mind also, like, I'm tied to the bed. So there's no time to like realistically untie me, allow me to get through the massive amounts of blood to get to the bathroom, clean off my hands, fix my contact, get back in bed, get tied down, have makeup touch up my hand. You know what I mean? Like, there's just no time for any of that. So
that, that would scare the crap out of me, honestly. That's the one.
I was going to say, and the natural thing to do is when someone brings their finger towards your eye, your natural eye is to close it.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that that might have been, even if you're saying, come on over here and do this,
I was really good about that because I was just so like, it just has to be done. Do it. And what helps is you just don't look at it, right? So like, I would just be like looking over there and then they would be like, you know.
So we got a bunch of people tuning in right now. So Song of Solomon is available out now. What's the best way to get a hold of it, Jessica?
You can go on Amazon, I would say. Yeah. And I share Amazon links all the time. So you can use my link and then I get a kickback, which would be great. side note, Amazon affiliate for life. Sorry, just plugging in my laptop. But Amazon, I think, is really great and it's super easy. You can certainly, if you want to bug Biro for a signed copy, I think he might have a few from the crowdfund left. I'm not positive. So definitely talk to him about that. If you order one from a crowdfund, you should have already received it. If you didn't, follow up with Biro.
Okay. So Billy was asking release date. It's available now. So either hit up Biro if you're looking to possibly acquire a signed copy. No guarantees. But if you want to get it tonight, just order straight from Amazon. And if you head on
free one-day shipping, actually.
There you go. And if you check show notes.
Bad.
If you check the show notes down below or up above, you find a ton of links for Jessica. So head on over to her page, and she should have an Amazon link if you want to support her and her future endeavors. And Jessica, for the people tuning in right now, do you want to introduce the trailer?
Sure. So this is the trailer that Stephen Biro and his team created with Unearth Films. And it was one of the first times that we shared with the world what it was that we had made. And I'm still really proud of it.
You should be. It's an amazing film. Here we go. Song of Solomon.
Mary, tell me about your dreams.
Sometimes I dream that I was enslaved.
Enslaved?
Mm-hmm.
How so?
The king of Babylon forced me to be a slave and help him build the Tower of Babel.
I don't understand.
I dream of fire. With flames higher than you could ever fathom.
Mrs. Caton, may I have a word with you, please? I'm just a family counselor. This is far more than I'm able to handle.
We feel the exorcism of this young girl will be unlike the others. That girl could hold the key to all of heaven. It is your task to save her soul.
Sand of Jerusalem, make our steps holy.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom.
What are you doing?
We're here to save you, Mary.
I don't need saving.
The body of Mary, Elizabeth Caton. Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, I cast thee out, demon!
I don't
want to. I cast you out!
Of the
Father.
Son, and the Holy Spirit. May the blood of his servants cleanse you.
Oh my God, we gotta help her! Are you okay?
It's not over yet.
You're charming. I like that.
Okay, we are back. That was American Guinea Pig, Song of Solomon, out now on Amazon. Or if you hit up Stephen Bureau, you might be able to buy a signed copy from him. So this movie, we all watched it just recently. I watched my copy yesterday. And I have to say, just the makeup and the practical effects are absolutely amazing. You did an awesome job in this, Jessica. But what is totally amazing, Wolfie and I were chatting previously before we logged on, is depending on your view of the world, you could take totally different context out of the end. Not giving anything away, but I could see where this could go totally one way in a good way, you know. And
Leo and I both disagree with the Indian completely. Yeah. You know, I yeah. mean,
did you both know, or did you disagree just like as far as like what it was doing?
I think disagreed what it was doing. I can't give anything away, but you know, I thought, you know, one thing was being done in a bad way to bring goodness into the world. That's what I was taking out of it.
Gotcha. I think you're wrong.
Okay.
So that means I'm right.
Goodness. Okay. I think it's all bad, or at least we should ask Bureau. Bureau has a better idea. I think it's all bad.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really fun for me.
We were just kind of like having a good time talking about it. I'm just kind of like, the way I view things in the world, I'm just kind of like going, no, dude, it's just...
It's bad.
It's bad.
That to happen.
Yeah, there's nothing good coming out of this, you know.
See, I'm the optimist.
It's definitely not like a feel-good movie.
Oh, no, definitely not a feel-good movie, but I you know, the way I was seeing it...
kind of person you are, though.
What's that, Yo-Yo?
It depends on what kind of person you are, though, I guess.
Exactly, but I mean, you know...
This is definitely a date film, though.
Yeah. It depends on the date, if she's awesome. and I guess it depends, right? Because I feel like for one of the characters, at least, it's like the greatest day ever.
Right.
But like, for society as a large, no.
See, yeah.
Like, if this was like real life, we're all fucked.
Getting back to what Leah was saying about the practical effects, they were amazing in this movie. I mean, just I can't say anything.
I can say a little bit. I think you could say a little.
Colombian necktie. There, that's what I say.
Well, and any other reviews, like at this point, if you're remotely interested, you haven't read something that referenced that, because like that scene was leaked early on.
Okay.
There's been so many people that have covered that scene. It's also like the opening of the movie. So for me personally, I don't believe you can spoil anything that happens in the first 20 minutes for a film.
Okay.
Right, because it's just like the setup. It's for act one.
So, with Jessica's permission, what, Leo?
Oh, no, hold on. We got a bunch of comments. Billy Baird says, great looking movie. Uh-huh. Deadly Grounds Coffee says, cool trailer. Jessica, with such long shoot days, how do you keep your energy up on set?
Well, as a matter of fact, it's through caffeinated beverages. it's literally that. I always ask for, it's funny because like we have riders, which is just basically what you require. So I always ask for coffee. And then ideally like a sugar-free creamer or something because I don't do sugar. Mainly too, because like sugar for me, after, if I'm doing a really long day and I've had lots of sugar stuff, I start feeling really sick. So no sugar. And then coffee, and I drink coffee all day. Obviously, it's 6 p.m. in LA, and I'm drinking it now. And it really is coffee. Like, I know sometimes people are like, it's alcohol. I was like, no, it'd be a different type of interview. It wasn't alcohol. But that being said, and then I do, obviously, I usually have a couple energy drinks or energy shots on hand. And then you kind of also hope that you've got a great cast and crew, which we definitely did overall. This was like a very small cast and crew, but like really great, passionate people. And you kind of feed off that energy. Like Scott Allen Warner, who was our DP's first in hand, Chris Salicki, the DP, Bureau, and our effects team were just so fucking amazing. Like we all kind of fed off each other's energy. We all knew that we were a part of something that was super special, even though we've all worked on a bunch of stuff. We're like, this is something really, really, really great. And that kind of helped propel us through the tough times. Because it does get like, you know, when you're on hour 14 and it's like 7 in the morning, you know, and you've got a few more shots to do. And for me, it's like, by the way, you're doing like 2 paragraphs of fucking Latin. For me, it's about 8 hours each paragraph of just memorizing because I suck at it. Especially like whenever it's you're memorizing dialogue in a language that you don't know, it's literally just all by rote, you know, because it's not like I understand what I'm saying. And there's not enough time to like learn a language for the purpose of memorizing these paragraphs, you know. And even then, it like, I don't even think you could learn language for that because there's such peculiar words, you know, because it's specific biblical phrases. That being said, it's just a lot of tedious stuff that requires a lot of caffeine.
Yeah, and you know, Tom, we were talking about it, and I think Jessica wouldn't mind a sampler.
I was saying I was really excited to try Deadly Grounds, yeah. And because I did get a small little pack of one of the, I'm not sure, I think it's just a regular flavor, in Scream Fest opening night bag. I've never tried Deadly Grounds, so I'm super excited about that. So, and I love the fact that there is a horror coffee company out there.
Yeah.
Because that makes so much sense, because everybody I know in the industry survives off caffeine.
Hey, here's the cool thing is that they sell in America, but they also sell up in Canada.
Well, up in Canada it's a different company. They have totally different coffees. There's like a bacon flavor.
And they have tea.
And they have tea, but unfortunately they won't ship to the U.S.
See, I never got into the tea thing. Tea makes me sleepy. And not that I never got into it. I do it for like going to sleep. So like there's like stress reliever and sleepy time tea that I really love. But like for me, and maybe that's just why, because I've always drank it like before bed, I associate with sleeping. So if I drink tea, I will get instantly tired, regardless of the amount of caffeine. If you're like, but this has more caffeine than your coffee, I don't know if it's like just a mind thing, but I'll be like,
mm. I'm a tea drinker, so.
We have.
Then why are you here? You're not one of us, Wolfie.
Exactly, Wolfie. So we have more comments. I'll try to get to everybody. Matthew Solomon says, such a badass movie. Trailer still gives me the chills, and that's just a taste of what you'll get. Tom from Deadly Grounds, I think we should get some Jessica some Deadly on set. Get that into her contract, LOL. And speaking of that,
yes,
really quick, we have the new trailer from Deadly Grounds with Father Evil. When we get back, we'll go through the rest of the comments.
And shine, my sinners. When Father Evil starts his day, he gets a little deadly. Deadly Grounds coffee has the richest, smoothest flavor you'll find anywhere. It's sinfully delicious. Once you go deadly, you never go back. Order yours at getdeadly.com. Coffee's so good, it's scary.
Okay, over on the YouTube side, Steven was saying, I take it Kevin is off today. Kevin's actually having some computer issues. If he gets it resolved, we're going to bring him in later on in the show. Let's see. Movie definitely surprised me. Well done. Josh says that. Jay Johnster Trulio says, hello all. Josh is saying, Jessica, any talks with the Red Eye writers on a possible sequel or something else you can do with them or Tristan?
I haven't. I like how we kind of left that was that I would love to work with them again. I had so much fun with them, and I think that their passion for horror is what I wish every filmmaker I worked with would have.
I agree.
It's just pure love and adoration for the genre, for telling a story, and for making horror the best that they can. So it's not fair. I feel like sometimes people really like to tear apart the fact that it's a first film made by two very young people that are not the most experienced. But I don't feel like they've ever misrepresented the fact that they're super young. It's their first movie, you know? So it's, for me, I'm always like, shut the fuck up. Like, seriously. These two kids made a movie before they turned 20. What did you do?
Yeah. That's the stuff that when Kevin and I talk about it, you know, whenever when we bring it up, that's the stuff we talk about. We're like, it's amazing that these two less than 21 years old, you know, came up with a plausible script. Well, not plausible, but a good story.
And again, like I feel like they're doing it in the right. They're doing it for the right reasons.
Yeah.
And I cannot stress how much I feel like we need more of that.
We do.
We don't need another person being like, horror makes money. It's trendy. Let's make a movie. Or
and some of those people.
We only have $100,000, so let's make a horror movie because it can sell. We don't need more people turning out schlock. We need more people that are just passionate about the genre.
Yeah. And some of those people that do make those horror movies that you're speaking of don't even like horror.
Oh.
You know?
You don't even know. They tell me this because they're like, see me as like a director or a colleague. Like the number of filmmakers that have a movie that I've like been at a festival with or went to go to a screening with will sort of be like, yeah, I don't like this. I don't fucking get it. It's what I could get financed, or I felt it was the only way I could make a movie because, you know, comedies without an A-lister don't sell, which is true, but still. And I'm like, why the fuck are you telling me that? Like, I don't respect you anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Me lose my respect for you, and now I don't want to work with you. Like, shut the fuck up. Just don't even tell me that. Like, I horror fan first, everything else after that. Like,
exactly.
Actress, cat lover, you know, like horror fan. That's like what I was from like the time I was 5. So you're not getting pluses whenever you tell me. Guess what? I don't really like the genre. I just wanted to make a movie to take advantage of the fan base. Yeah, you're a dick. Congratulations.
Personally, I would say how you could call yourself an artist if that's what you're making it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Blaine Thomas McGovern says, great movie. Loved it. And hi, Jess.
Hi.
And Billy Baird says, Jessica is asking, Jessica, how long did it take to film Truth and Truth or Dare and Song of Solomon?
Okay, so Truth or Dare, we shot it 9 days out of 11. So we had 2 days break in between the 9. And then it took about a year and a half in post-production. Then we did a year and a half festival circuit. And then we did a distribution deal. So unfortunately, it was a time-consuming process. With Unearthed, American Guinea Pig, Song of Solomon, we shot that for, I know I was on location for 17 days, I think. So it was pretty much most of those 17 days. And then they did about 9 months to a year in post, and then they overlapped their festival with distribution because, of course, Unearth is their own distribution. So that made it so that it was about 2 years from start to, it was just a little bit over 2 years from start to actually coming out. For me, they had done pre-pro and wrote the script obviously prior to that.
Yeah, it's really something. I mean, it blows my, to this day, it still blows my mind when I hear you say something like, well, we did like seven of 9 days on Truth or Dare. Who shoots a movie in 7 days?
Yes, thank you.
No, but I mean, even John Carpenter, back when he did Halloween, he shot it in 18 days. And that still blows my mind that anyone's, that's shooting the movie, you know, getting it all done, getting all the shots right, because it's not digital, it's film. And if you screw it up, you got to go back.
Well, and film, I don't think, I don't even know how they could do that on film. The benefit with digital is it's a lot quicker setup.
Right.
You know, with digital, you can see what you're shooting as you're doing it. So with film, people don't realize it, but you have to wait till the film is processed before you can see whatever you shot. So there was still like watching it while you filmed it. So like if you didn't measure, and they used to have like, it would be these light measures and such. So if somebody picked up on that, and let's just say they're thinking they're doing it right for the whole day and they screwed up, you won't know until the following day if all of your footage is fucked up.
So
that's true.
That's a huge, that's a high risk, which is where like I'm so thankful that digital has come around and is thriving. I don't think I'll ever make a movie, honestly, in actual film because I don't have a desire to deal with those struggles. I get it. It's an older art form. I'm not as passionate as others are, so I'd much rather just let them deal with it.
That's fine. Leo, you're going to say something?
A couple things going on. Blaine Thomas McGovern says, Red Eye was a great movie. We agree. We absolutely loved it. And it's a fantastic first effort. Tristan and Destiny did an amazing job considering their age, the amount of money, etc. They did it with passion, and it shows. Also, Matthew Solomon says, may I ask how things are progressing with Mania? Might we have a release date for the DVDs, Blu-ray sometime soon? And I know Tony had a question.
Yes, I don't have a date, but it should be very, very soon. We originally signed a deal last year, and it was for fall of this year, which fall is technically coming to an end, but they could have pushed it. I just have to follow up, and I've not been so focused on that because I've been doing 50 billion things. But I will follow up on that, and as soon as I have a date for you, I will get it to you. It will be soon.
Awesome.
And also, because we did do a crowdfund on that, I don't think we're going to get the crowdfund. My instinct is probably what will happen is they'll be like, oh, yeah, we're releasing it like next week, because that's what these distribution companies like to do, whether you try to follow up with them or not. So what we'll probably do is send them out to the backers as soon as we can. But I think we'll be sending out at least the first five or six Kill the PA episodes to the Indiegogo backers very shortly. Nice. So that's exciting.
And we just had Stephen Byrou jump in the chat room. He said, sorry I missed this, guys. Had a wacky day. We totally understand you're super crazy. Stephen, while we got you in the chat room...
You're fired, Byrou. Fired.
While we got you in the chat room, Stephen, if somebody was interested in purchasing a signed copy of Song of Solomon, if you have information, if you want to throw it in the chat room so everybody can see it. And Tony... What questions did he have?
Well, one of them, I watched it just a little while ago, and I must say that this was one of the more intense movies that I've seen in a long time. How long out of the taping were you covered in some kind of blood or guts or something like that? Because it seemed like chunk of the movie was
constant. Constant. I think there was one or two days where I wasn't covered with blood and guts so much, but I had full body makeup on because they did like pretty much the movie starts off and my character's already in one of the earlier phases of being possessed. Mm. Right. So we see very little of my character as an unpossessed person. We only see flickers. So the makeup, even if I'm not covered in blood, dips, and gore, there's still like full body makeup. I think there was 2 days where we didn't have blood, and the rest, it was just so much blood.
Yeah, because I remember, before this, I mean, the closest thing that I got, jittered to was like The Exorcist. And then watching this movie, I was just like, okay, that just took that from this level to like... over that. Like, it was very, very, very intense.
The whole... vomit scene was just, oh my god, that was
a fun one, wasn't it? I was like, oh, this is gonna be great, and I made like big notes on my page. I was like, don't eat this day.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite scenes in the movie, to be honest.
And I don't love vomiting. Like, it's just, here's the thing about anytime you have a vomit scene, for me anyways, and I think most actors I've spoken to agree, you kind of, if you're really into it, there's a high chance that you'll really for real vomit, which is fine. You just have to deal with it. But the trick with this one was the whole concept of vomiting and then, I mean, spoiler, but vomiting and then going back down, internally ingesting it. So I was like, that's going to be real unpleasant, because like the only thing worse than vomiting is vomiting in front of people. And then worse than that is vomiting in front of people with a camera. And then worse than that is vomiting in front of people with a camera and then putting the vomit and other stuff back down.
And the funny thing is that this wasn't, according to Jessica, this wasn't the hardest thing to do in the movie. That was the contacts.
That was just like on. Well, we did two takes. We did two takes where like I put them up and then put them back down. And then that was it. And so, like, you're talking, don't get me wrong, it's not pleasant. But it was, 30 minutes of not greatness versus, like, the contact lenses. There was, like, one day that my contacts were so sore and painful that when we had an on-set photographer, I think it was Scott Gabbiette that day, and he was taking pictures, and whenever the camera would flash, it felt like there was like 80 slivers going into my eyeballs. Like, yeah. Like I literally felt like I was almost legitimately possessed, because I'd be like, like, it was the most damnedest thing. And I literally got to, I asked him, I was like, please, you cannot flash. My eyes, like, I cannot describe the pain. And I deal with pain very well. It's that painful where I'm telling you, you can't do this. And I had to get really angry because he kept doing it. I was like, no!
actually, real quick, not real quick, sorry about this. We'll come back to afterwards. A ton of comments. Just want to make sure I try to get a hold of everybody. Josh Janot was saying, with all the different versions of Truth or Dare out there, now Jessica has to be on top of the recent watches. And he's asking about Mania, which was already answered. Asking about the stuff he had to swallow after throwing it up. Also, Screaming Soup. Howdy, Jessica. It's your pals over here at Screaming Soup. Just happened to catch you here. But I wanted to reread Josh's questions because I read it wrong. But before I do that, we're going to show the trailer again for Song of Solomon for everybody just joining us right now. It's available out. It's out right now on Amazon. So if you head on over to Jessica's, probably your Facebook page, is that where you got your Amazon link? Okay. So in the show notes down below or up above, you find a ton of links for Jessica to follow her. But if you head on over to her Facebook page, you should be able to find an Amazon link if you want to support her and her future endeavors. And head on over to Amazon and purchase Song of Solomon, American Guinea Pig Song of Solomon. We definitely recommend it here on the Wicked Horror Show, powered by the Dorkening. But here is the trailer for Song of Solomon.
Mary, tell me about your dreams.
Sometimes I dream that I was enslaved.
Enslaved?
Mm-hmm.
How so?
The king of Babylon forced me to be a slave and help him build the Tower of Babel.
I don't understand.
I dream of fire with flames higher than you could ever fathom.
Mrs. Caton, may I have a word with you, please? I'm just a family counselor. This is far more than I'm able to handle.
We feel the exorcism of this young girl will be unlike the others. That girl could hold the key to all of heaven. It is your task to save her soul.
Sand of Jerusalem, make our steps holy.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom.
What are you doing?
We're here to save you, Mary.
I don't need saving.
The body of Mary, Elizabeth Caton. Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. I cast thee out, demon.
I don't.
I cast you. No, Wilson.
And the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May the blood of his servants cleanse you.
Oh my God, we gotta help her! Are you okay?
It's not over yet.
And Tony's underwater. Okay. Screaming Soup says Jessica's Truth or Dare was the scariest for sure. And Josh is asking, who was the makeup artist on the movie? Because they were on point.
So we had two. We had Marcus Cook, who did my makeup. And then we had Jeremy Cruz with Toe Tag Effects. And he did all of the blood, guts, and gore and the bone breaking and all of the effects heavy stuff that wasn't like makeup. He did like all of the body casting, all the mold making, which is really helpful because he and I both live in Los Angeles. versus Marcus wasn't local. So yeah. And he did like all of the prop stuff too. So for example, in the vomit scene, everything I vomit up, Jeremy Cruz made. I mean, aside from my own vomit.
Yeah. The bone breaking, that was another thing besides the vomit. Bone breaking. Oh my God, that was insane. Stephen Breyer says Jessica is a treasure. Very proud to have worked with her. Mitch Reeves says the contacts were so badass. And he's also saying, Blaine Thomas McGovern, totally. Mitch Reeves says, thanks for the dedication, Jess. And Blaine is saying, I just saw another Truth or Dare on Netflix. People are on the Truth or Dare train.
It's a great title. I don't think really I'm against it. I just, like I said, how it was handled at the studio level was kind of like, oh, this is how we kick the indie people down. Okay.
Okay, Blaine says, gosh damn, Bible thump like a champ. Jessica, having followed you for years through Scream Queen Stream and your other films, the absolute transformation you went through in Solomon was amazing to see. Impressive doesn't even begin to cover it. That was by Mitch Reeves, and Terry Smith also joined as well.
Hi, Terry. Hi, Pablo, who, by the way, if you're not familiar with Pablo Macho Masonet, I probably butchered your last name because I suck at last names, but it's okay. We're friends. He understands. His work is phenomenal too, and I will work with him eventually. He is on the list of people whose films I can't wait to watch and who I have to work with. He's amazing. Awesome. And hi, Terry. Thank you so much. And Terry does. He literally was, I was like, you know, did you ever get the signed script pages as well, Terry? Let me know. But literally, like, many of the props, I was like, this is going to Terry, and this is going to Terry, and this is going to Terry. And it's funny, because, like, I sent him a hand from an ending. So I was like, you almost have enough parts to build your own Jessica Cameron. Like, if ever I die, there's probably enough skin cells of mine on there to, like, make it.
Justin Moss is such a great film. And, Jessica, thank you for putting the link to buy a copy of Song of Solomon there. And if you have any questions for Jessica, post them in the chat room. I'm trying my best to keep on top of it. So we have Facebook Live going, also YouTube if you're watching there as well. And I'll try my best to get on top of that. Tony,
the comments are going.
Yeah, comments are going crazy.
I love that.
Totally.
So, Jess, I mean, when they made the movie The Exorcist, a lot of weird things happened during making the film. Any bizarre, like, things happened while making, you know, Song of Solomon?
Oh my gosh, so many things did, and I think for me, most of them became apparent after Song of Solomon. So, like, for example, like, I think it was 3 weeks after we left set, we actually had a level 5 emergency flooding where the entire city that we were in got vacated and destroyed.
Oh my God.
Hero was going to do some pickup shots and like some just like location shots essentially of like the house, like no actors or anything, but just like, you know, wides and stuff. And he couldn't do them because everything got destroyed. Everything was damaged.
That's totally bizarre.
Right. Also too, because like I had gotten my dog, like I found my dog on set and I was thinking I never had a dog before. I didn't want to keep him. I was like, whatever. I'm going to like, you know, I'll come back. If I really want him, I'll come back. I'll like leave him at the shelter. And I'm so glad I didn't, because if he had been in the shelter, he probably would have been dead.
Oh, wow.
And that's bad.
And that's the dog Solomon that you have with you.
Yeah. He's like over there sleeping. It's been a very tiring day of him doing not a lot of anything. I like trying to get him to like tweet. Oh, he's got attitude. It's because he's sleeping.
Now leave me alone.
Hi. Want to say hi? No.
He said hi. He said growl. So what do you got coming up, Jess? What are you working on?
Well, we are really excited about the Mania release, so stay tuned for that. I don't have all the exact details. But right. And then Kill the PA is almost over with for me. Lilith is done. We're just trying to find a good home for her. And then an ending is in final stages of post-production, which I'm super excited about. We're just waiting for our composer to get on board. And then hopefully we'll start a festival run early next year. So it's all good and exciting. And then Turn Good Dream is going really well. If you guys follow that, Heather Dorf has been away in Switzerland. doing jobby job stuff, and I've missed her terribly. So now she's back, the hot tub and pool diving and all these other things are going to commence shortly.
And for the people that might not know this, Lilith is Desolation.
Yes, Lilith is Desolation, which also I hate it. Every time again, you can't copyright a title, but like every time I make a movie or like I announce a title, like five others come out with the same title. So there's been like two that's come out since I renamed my movie. But again, it's also a good title, but no, mine's not available yet.
I've been waiting for these movies, like I said, forever, but I mean, when they do come out, I'm on top of them. Don't worry. This stuff I've been wanting to see for a long time. I'm looking forward to Kill the PA because this was actually kind of like a behind the scenes making of the other two movies.
That's going to be an honest. Kill the PA is going to divide people because it's an honest, not very attractive look at independent filmmaking. And it's just honest and it's truthful. You know, so I don't look great in it. Not anyone does. Like, you see all of us, all the people making these movies at our best. You see us at our worst. You see us at our most stressed. And you see us at our, you know, we don't know what to do panic moments. So it's going to be really interesting. Because I think there's people like me that I think I own all my shit. If I say something, yeah, I fucking said it. Might not have been right. Might not have been, you know, the best thing to say at that point. But not making excuses, that's me. I think there's definitely going to be other people who are like trying to say that that's not how they really are and it's misrepresented. And it's like, no, we literally just set up the camera. That's what you did in front of it.
What were you saying, Tony? No,
it's really interesting.
Now I was going to say it might open up the. Not a lot of people know.
Tony's underwater again.
Yeah.
Well, that's something about opening up conversation, maybe.
Yeah.
I hope it does. I find like too often as a fellow filmmaker and as someone who's, I've worked on over 100 different projects. It's a lot. And I could tell you that in the world of independent filmmaking, even the higher budget independent films that I've done, $2, $3, $4, $5 million, things fucking go wrong and nobody ever likes to talk about it. And I'm very much different mindset to be like, here's what happened. Here's how we overcame it or didn't. Like, here's what we tried. I believe knowledge is power. So I'm very much not like let's pretend everything was perfect and everything was super fun. You know, no, it was fucking hard as hell. Are you nuts? There's a reason why, you know, X amount of films get started and don't get finished. Let me give you the alphabetized list of just like the last film and everything, why I could have easily said, nope, can't finish it. And they all would have been legitimate, justifiable bullshit excuses, you know.
When I first met you at Crypticon, you were telling me this great story about you guys rented this camper,
mm-hmm.
and that this basically everything that you had to do to try to keep that camper, that RV, you know, looking nice. You know, especially when you had to turn it back in, you're like, oh my God, everyone's running around with their heads cut off. Just
so there's this moment where it's like 3 a.m. and one of the crew members who offered to drive to relieve our primary driver, he promised he had like trained and everything. I think it was a lie. I should have checked more. I should not have taken him at his word when he told me he had driven a 28-foot vehicle before. And there's this moment where I'm in the back sleeping with most of the people. And I hear and can feel the RV scraping against something. We pulled into a gas station, got gas. And I wake up, realize something scraping against the RV and like run to the front, at which point it's too late. He had scraped it like at the gas station. You know how there's like those
overhangs?
No, not overhangs, but there's like almost like metal cylinders and stuff to like prevent you from hitting the gas tank.
Oh, yeah. Right.
He hit one of those and then just like hit it with the side and then just like let it scrape up. So rather than like stopping when he like realized like he hit it and it started to scrape, he was just like, let me just run it along the entire side of the RV, causing thousands of dollars of damage.
Oh, ouch.
Like, not kidding. And by the time I was like yelling, I'm like, no!
We're not getting our security deposit back.
No, we did not.
I know.
So actually, I made the choice. I think it came out to be like $1,800 in damage. It was like literally, had it been like half of an inch deeper of an indent, they would have destroyed the pullout. Like, we had an RV that had a pullout, meaning like you could move out right. the sofa section. So if that gets damaged, that's like $40,000-$50,000. Luckily, that was not damaged enough. So I think it was like, it was 1800 or 2200 in that ballpark. So when I talked to my insurance, with it going up so much for like X amount of years, I was like, let me just get that paid out right.
We got a couple questions over on YouTube and a bunch of comments on Facebook. I'll try to get it to everybody as best as I can. And I'm going to combine two of these questions. First off, Josh says Solomon is awesome from what I see on social media. Also, he can't wait for some more hot tub story time. Paul Norbury says a certain producer spoke BS about the lack of female directors willing to take on horror movies. How do you feel about that? And he's also saying Truth or Dare is amazing. You did an awesome job. I'm going to combine this with Josh's question. Says, what has been your best experience with filming movies, YouTube videos included?
So as far as like Jason Blum, who notoriously has now said the bullshit about how he can't find a female director after listing the only two women that he's approached in 5+ years of filmmaking to make a genre movie and how neither one is interested in working with him. So the good and the bad. So the bad side is that he said that because that's what he sincerely believed. And the fact that he's gone out to two women in 5+ years, when he's gone out to hundreds, possibly thousands of men, show you the problem that we as women face every fucking day, right? The fact that he'll list a laundry reason of like, well, here's the thing. It has to be somebody who's made a studio film in the last X amount of years. Here, you haven't held them into that accountability. He's literally hired X amount of men, like a lot of men who have made a short or nothing at all to make their first feature film. And yet for some reason, his requirements for women have been exponentially, unattainably higher. That said, there are still many, many women that meet those requirements. He's just not sourced them out. So the downside is that's the problem. The benefit is it shone a light, I think, to all those people who don't necessarily believe there's a problem. Like, oh, shit. If this person is saying something so stupid that is obviously not true, it must be a bigger problem than we think. And I think the other benefit is now I can promise you Jason Blum will have to hire multiple women. Like right now, him and his team, I can promise you, are like, shit, let's hire three of them right now. Why? We don't fucking care about these movies that we throw out for like $2 million. Keep in mind, Blumhouse notoriously makes so many movies a year that you never even the audience doesn't see. They have a backlog of ones, mainly because most of them turn out real fucking bad. But that being said, where they're never even released, or at least have yet to be, they're just going to like hire X amount of women. It's going to go public and they'll share it, you know, in the trade. They'll be like, look, we didn't mean it. At the end of the day, he said it, he meant it, he believed it, but it's going to work in for the greater good because he's going to have to rectify the problem.
So question, if Jason was to come to you and say, hey, Jessica, direct this movie for me, would you work for him?
Situation depending, yes. If it was a project that I believed in, 110%. And I mean, hell, I'd be down to do Truth or Dare too.
Oh, I'd be down to see
Truth or Dare too. I sent him a cheeky tweet where I was like, Jason, there's many women in horror, something like, you know, we live it, love it, etc. And, you know, talk to me. We even share the same taste in titles. But no, I absolutely, here's the thing. I don't think he's an inherently bad person. I think it's an ignorant statement made by a man who surrounds himself with yes people who tell him whatever he wants to hear.
Yeah, it's a possibility. You
know? So I don't think he's like a horrible person. And I think, again, he's going to have to fix this. So I hope he makes the right choices and I hope he hires more women who can actually make films that hopefully won't get shelved.
I do. I hope something does come of this because, I mean, as we talked about on Sit Down, there's been a lot of women that are horror directors that, you know, they're out there and they're doing it well right now, but they could be doing so much better if they had the people to back them.
Completely agree.
You know?
So, and like I said, we'll see. Like, I had my agent try to get off hold of him to do a meeting. So I really had an interesting take on Halloween. And I was like, I think this is the story. And you can't even get through to him.
Yeah.
My agent couldn't even get through. Like I said, the only like I've ever had is when I sent my movie in a week later and email went up being like, we really like this title. Who wants to make it?
So we have a ton of comments over on Facebook. And one question is going to be a real easy one for you, Jessica. So Stephen Biro says, haha, our editor had two organs removed while editing the film. One of our actors went into a coma. Another
did happen. Yeah. I got like the phone call that he was dying.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
Yeah. And thank God he came out of it and everything's fine now. But like it was bad.
What happened?
They don't know. It was like the most random, mysterious illness. It like struck him down. He went into a coma. It started looking really, really bad. Nobody could figure out anything like what it was or why. And he was previously healthy and he's not old, obviously. He's a young guy.
See, these are the weird things that happen on like exorcist type movies. You always hear there's like this and the poltergeist and it's just odd.
Mitch Reeves says Solomon is the best puppy ever. And Steven responds, Solomon, he's on our commentary. Blaine is looking forward to Mania and Lilith. Only Solomon cuter than me. Matthew Solomon said that. Mitch is dying to see Mania. Terry Smith says, Utero, Blaine, I admire Deonis. Look at BTS. Kill the PA will be on my list. Definitely kill the PA. And Brad wants to know, what does it say on your coffee mug?
Oh, so Utero, number one. I don't know the details on that one. That is a movie that I star in that I really loved. I play a woman who believes that she is pregnant with a spider baby. It's a really great story, and I have a lot of respect for that project. However, it's kind of been in limbo. The director is one of those wonderful, brilliant, artistic folks that gets very stuck in his head. So I took a step back years ago when it was kind of like, is it going to get finished? Is it not? Not in my control. You know what I mean? Like I can only send so many emails and messages to be like, what's going on? Is it going to get finished? What's going on? What's going on? And being told something and having it not be accurate and then being told something. So I'm hopeful it's coming out. I've heard it's coming out sometime soon. I don't know the details. If or when it does, it'll be awesome. I'm sure I haven't seen the finished film. I saw a finished film like 3 years ago. I thought it was good then. I can't imagine they're going to make it worse. I do know that at one point, from what I know, the distributor was going to rename it something fucking stupid. So don't expect the awesome title to be there. But
yeah,
same movie. Still really original.
I read something about this like 6 months ago from the director, Brian... I can't think of his last name.
Brian Coyne.
Yeah. And he was stating that it was going to be coming out sometime within the next year. And I was like, well, I'm looking forward to that. You know, this is one of those movies. I love it. You know, I love the idea of this movie and the fact that, you know, it's Jessica. I mean, and Jessica hates spiders.
You hate spiders so much.
But no, you hate spiders.
It's a really, really good story, and it's a really good script. So like I said, don't get me wrong, I'm hopeful. I know that it will come out. It'll come out eventually. And what I've been saying is that with this particular director, it usually takes him 5 years or so for films to come out just because he's so like one of those artistic types that like gets in his head and like recuts it and like, recuts it and recuts it. So it'll come out. It's just a matter of when. So I would think if it's not this year, it'll be next year.
Speaking of spiders, we had another one of your directors on, Jim Wynorski.
Oh, I worked with Jim. We did a movie called Camel Spiders.
Yes, you did. Yeah, from the Corman factory.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ironically, it wasn't a Corman film when we shot it. They came on board after.
No, but I mean, it's, you know... Yeah, Jim comes from the Corman factory, and you know, that's what I call it.
I shot 28 or 29 pages of action and dialogue in one 18-hour shoot day.
That's a long day.
And I had to drive 3 hours to and from set, no hotel or anything, because they had no money. And most of the other actors had to drive at least a couple hours as well.
Wow. That's
dedication.
Yeah.
But it was really fun. I'm still really happy I did that movie. It was a really great learning experience for me. And I really, like, for what it's worth, I know Jim is not everyone's cup of tea. I know that he has not a great reputation. I really enjoyed working with him. He's really blunt and really honest, but that's fine with me. As long as you aren't malicious in tone, you know?
It was funny because we had another we had someone else on that was working with him, and he was watching the show, and people in the audience, you know, like they are here, you know, were saying, Jim, you should give him 10 minutes. And by the time the episode was over, they had talked Jim into giving us an hour, and he was on for the whole hour, and he was awesome. He's one of my favorite directors.
He's really entertaining. But like I said, I can see why people don't like him. I get it. I'm fine with him.
Yeah.
You know, because he'll say things like, I hate it. That was horrible. Or that fucking sucked. You know what I mean? And you're like, okay, probably a more politically correct way to say that, but whatever. For me, I'm just like, awesome. When you say I hated it, that means like 360 that shit. Do something completely.
Yeah, exactly.
Unsalvageable. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I hear in my head is like opposite, polar opposite. Everything you do, do something different. But I definitely saw like this, one of the actors in the scene, Kayla, I don't think she's an actor anymore. She definitely had a couple like of breakdowns because she just didn't respond well to that kind of criticism.
But that sounds like the best kind of criticism, if you ask me, because I mean, like you just said, it's like he's not just saying, Jessica, can you try something else? He's going, look, I hated that. Do something.
Well, I yeah. It's more common that most directors are more like, here's what I liked about it. Here's what I didn't like. You know what I mean? Or here's what worked. Could you change this? You know, so I think, again, it just depends on what you're used to. And also, again, it can be, I could see how some people that are bothered by abrasive personalities would be like, oh my God, I just don't really care. I'm like, you know, love me, hate me, whatever. Just hire me and pay me.
There you go. Are we going to see any more directing stuff from you, Jess? Sorry, Leo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have 4 movies that are in various script stages and hopefully at various funding stages. So fingers crossed, there's like live stream. I have a dead stream, and we'll see what it's called. I have an Irish witch tale called Amelia. And then I have Truth and Air 2, obviously, and Bestie. So I'm not sure which is going to go next. I don't know who, what, where, when, how, but one of them will, I'm sure.
Speaking of Truth or Dare, Robbie Cooper over on YouTube says, Truth or Dare was phenomenal, creative brilliance at its finest. Keep up the amazing work, Jessica. And a bunch of stuff over on Facebook. I'm sorry if I'm not getting to everybody. Stephen Byro says, dude, if you knew everything that happened, you would freak. Why, I sent you an email telling you to be careful. LOL, we had pestilence, disease, natural disasters after we shot. Really fucked up. LOL.
Oh, and before I forget to mention, Brad, my mug says, I have the pussy, so I make the rules. Which is, you know, life.
We're going to have to get that mug filled with deadly grounds.
Yes, yeah. I have some other kind of coffee. I don't know what I was thinking.
Yeah.
It is coffee. I'm just drinking up a straw because I had lipstick on and I was like, it's going to get all over the glass. It's going to be a real mess. Throw a straw in there. And it's not, I know it's a plastic straw. I'm sorry for the record. I do reuse my plastic straws and I cut them up before I throw them away, but I understand they're not politically correct at the moment. I get it.
I don't care.
So I want to buy like those metal straws and like the cleaners and a little carrying case for them. But it's one of the things where it's like there's 24 hours in a day. I haven't had time to deal with it.
Yeah.
She's got to get her 5 hours worth of sleep, people. Come on.
Yeah.
So we're talking about American Guinea Pig. We got a couple minutes here. Song of Solomon. That's not the full title. So it's American Guinea Pig, Song of Solomon. And I'm saying we only have a couple minutes left. So if you have some questions for Jessica, please post them over on YouTube or Facebook. And I'll try to get to them before we wrap things up. If you're interested in following Jessica, check the show notes down below or up above. You'll find a bunch of information about us and Jessica. And if you like hearing more about indie filmmakers, we do this every week. Every Tuesday is our Wicked Horror Show, where we talk to awesome people like Jessica, who's been on here numerous times. We absolutely love having you on. Anything you wanted to discuss before we wrap things up?
You know what? We do a show also weekly called Scream Queen Stream, so definitely check it out. We're on YouTube. I do it with my best friend, Heather Dorf. We are wanting to sort of like revamp it for 2019 coming up, so we would love some of the fans' input on what more you want to see of, you know, other ideas, other concepts. Yeah. So that's kind of what I do in the meantime. What I love about Scream Queen Stream is it's a weekly show that we can control. So it's not like, you know, the like year post-production where it's, you know, I want to share with you the movie like right now. If I could share with you an ending, I fucking would. It's still finishing post-production, though. So Scream Queen Stream is like a nice, you know, in the meantime, while I'm working on this other thing, go pay attention to this. So go pay attention to that.
It's a nice creative outlet.
And we have Patreon, which if you want to support, you can. We give signed swag, a bunch of other cool shit, or you can just watch it on YouTube. Really, it's whatever fits inside of your life and budget.
And along with that, you also have Inside My Indie Life.
I do. That's just like my own like randomness in my world.
It's still cool to watch, though.
Thanks. I like it's literally just whatever I feel like sharing and putting up there. But I'm really liking it almost like as an archival thing, you know, and I love it because my nieces can be a part of my life. I have two little nieces in Canada, for those of you who don't know, that cannot watch things like American Guinea Pig, Song of Solomon yet, they're so young. So me doing stuff on YouTube and stuff like that that they can watch and sort of laugh along with is really great. So love that. And if you haven't seen Truth or Dare, you can DM me. I do have a few signed copies left. So
if you haven't seen Truth or Dare, where have you been? This, yeah.
Well, like if you saw the PG-13 Blumhouse one, get in touch with me. I'll share with you a real one.
Yeah, no doubt. I did see the Blumhouse one because I wanted to. If horror comes out, no matter PG-13 or whatever, I choose to go to it just to make sure horror stays in the theaters type of thing.
Agreed. So do I. I don't always talk like I never like to say anything overly critical or bad because again, it's different filmmakers, you know. I take issue with it being PG-13. I'm not here to think there is a place for PG-13, but I think it's for me, it's like things that are deliberately going to be
watered down
that children like.
Yeah.
You know, like I want more PG-13 that my nieces would like. That being said, I felt like Truth or Dare was like very much like just a regular horror movie that was watered down for mass consumption.
Yeah.
David, my co-star, who's in like one of the best scenes of, in my opinion, American Guinea Pig, Song of Solomon, which I'm not even technically in, but I'm kind of in because it was my body, but it wasn't me. Try to hope that doesn't give too much away.
You had a lot of really cool co-stars in American Guinea Pig. And as I said before, the guy with the dual crosses on his frock was probably one of my favorite characters.
I was really impressed with both him and David, Gene and David. They just blew me away, both of them. Yeah. Professionalism and how because their characters were very, all the priests were very similar on paper, and I feel like all the actors brought a complete different flavor and charm to their role that right. Also you could see why again like the ministry would be like, okay, now send this guy, you know.
Yeah, we gotta send the guy that's been out on the war front, you know, in the trenches with everyone. We gotta send him next.
Yep.
I mean, It was.
Shout out to Eric Elick because he is here and he is my brilliant composer on Lilith and a dear friend of mine. So he also has a YouTube channel and he twitches and a bunch of other fun stuff. So definitely follow Eric. He's great.
Will do. Eric Elick. He says, hi, the Dorkening and Jessica. Blaine Thomas says, I actually enjoyed the Netflix Truth or Dare release better than the Blumhouse. But you definitely need to see Jessica's Truth or Dare. That is a must watch.
Well, and that was so that's Nick Simons. I think Nick Simons is great. I think he's a brilliant filmmaker. His Truth or Dare is the one that's on Netflix. Definitely check it out if you haven't seen it. And understand, like, it was made for sci-fi. So his movie is not supposed to be a graphic, vicious torture flick, right? Know that going into it. But I still think it's a really good film. And he is just a talented filmmaker. Period.
Blaine Thomas says it's a nice way to be able to see both you on a regular basis and get to know more about you, talking about your YouTube channel. Daniel John says, hey, all. Daniel, unfortunately, we're not going to be at ScareCon. We had some little financial issues, so we had to pull out, unfortunately. David.
Well, you got to realize you guys do a lot of conventions every year, Leo, and it's like it gets to the point where trying to finance them all is, you know,
oh, yeah. You know,
some things take precedent.
Exactly. Super Mega Fest was great because it was like right down the road, so it's right. That was the easy one to do. I'm sorry if I didn't get to everybody. I know, let me see. Mitch Reeves says, Jess, I love your YouTube channel. Love your collaboration with Bloodbath and Beyond. Love Bloodbath and Beyond. Are there any other channels you'd like to guest on?
Oh, here's the thing about YouTube. I love the whole format. I definitely want to do more things with Bloodbath and Beyond because I think they're just really fun fucking guys. And side note, Bug J, because there's like one that I wanted for our channel where he was very drunk and he doesn't want to release the footage. But I think it's fucking great. We had so much fun filming it. I'm like, just release it. It's fucking great. It's awesome. We try to convince Heather Dorff to do a nude scene in my next movie. That's like the whole premise of like the video. Anyways, but no, them, I think they're phenomenal. I mean, there's so many talented YouTube creators that I just love and adore. So the more collabs that I can do, the better. And I just love how YouTube and Twitch are taking out the middleman, right? Like, effectively, anybody can create content. Anybody can watch content. It doesn't take, you know, a producer or a high budget or anything to actually, you know, get something to get made, which is great.
Yeah, and Jay over at Bloodbath, he does awesome editing work, and that's actually a problem where we can't get him on the show is because we are live, and you know, he you know, there are things that could get out because he's drinking a bit during the show, but we love Jay, and hopefully we can have him on again some other time when we're not live.
Really fun.
They are, and they met us last year's ScareCon. They came down to go see us. Great guys, but we're gonna wrap things up here. I'm sorry if I didn't get to everybody. Actually, Blaine says love me some Bloodbath and Beyond. They're awesome dudes. And Jessica, where do you like people following you?
I mean, everywhere. Stalk me on every social media. I'm pretty easy to find. I'm Jessica Cameron on Facebook, Jessica Cameron _ Twitter, Actress Jessica Cameron on Instagram, and then Screen Food Streams all over that shit too, as well as Inside My Indie Life YouTube. So pretty easy. And when in doubt, just go to my website. There's links to all that from JessicaCameron.com.
Awesome. Okay, so Tony is frozen. Actually,
I thought he was just being like really intensely.
I know.
I like smug Tony.
So he did have a question. He texted me here. It says, since I'm frozen, he wants to know, Jessica, if you had any vocal lessons for Song of Solomon.
I did not. I just was trying to experiment and creep myself out. So I was like, I don't know if you're going to like this. I'm not a singer. I did, fun fact, I did have voice lessons when I was a child. I went through a phase where I wanted to be a singer. Obviously, I did not do that because I can't sing. But I can call the Antichrist. It's fine.
There you go.
But fun fact, I had to make up that melody. I sing the Song of Solomon. I had to make up the melody because no matter where I searched, and I searched the bowels of the dark web where you can find everything. I can find like very specific, like somebody getting beheaded while being alive and barely like you can search anything and find it, like video, everything. Could not find the Song of Solomon being sung or musically played in any capacity at all. The only thing you could find are the lyrics with no musical notes whatsoever because it's such, you should never sing it. Apparently it's like real bad.
Oh, wow. Maybe that's
always a great sign. Everything else on the dark web. Maybe. But this song, no.
Now, did the bad things on set happen? Did the bad things on set happen after you sang it? Maybe there's a correlation.
I mean, technically, not the wood. Nothing.
She's gone.
But no, it did.
Okay, so we'll do the rundown for Tony. If you follow him at Tony Has Nine Fingers, and also Tony's movies, he has a ton of stuff. You can easily find him. Just find him over on Facebook, and you'll get a ton of his stuff there. Yo.
You can find me at Boy Meets Phone on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. Wherever you're doing your social media, should probably be around there. Also, Yo Saint Laurent on those same social media channels, and of course, you can find me here.
Wolfie.
You can find me on YouTube, The 13th Wolfman, Twitter at The 13th Wolfman, Tumblr, 13th Wolfman, The Prowl, every Sunday on The Dork Me, Tuesday on Wicked Horror Show, doing the Wicked Horror reviews with my partner in horror crime, Kev. And right now I'm just doing the 31 days of Halloween, and I'm on day 23, coming up 24 tomorrow. So check those out. And for Kevin, he's A Knuckle on Twitter, Instagram,
Vine?
And, I think it's Snapchat. Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat.
Yeah, I don't think he's doing Snapchat.
But he doesn't use Snapchat, so.
No. And they're saying Snapchat's going away anyway. They're
really? The Jenners really did kill it, huh?
Their stock has been plummeting. It's crazy. Yeah, but
it started plummeting after Kylie was like, I don't really use Snapchat anymore.
Yeah, my wife uses it. She loves it. Okay, so for The Dorkening, we do this show multiple times a week. The Wicked Horror Show is live every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. And this is where we talk to awesome indie filmmakers like Jessica. We do a roundtable discussion every Sunday morning, just about every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. The Wicked Horror Show, not The Wicked Horror Show, The Ultimate Video Game Show is going away, but we have a new show to replace it with. You'll learn more about that shortly. Some awesome stuff coming up. But also make sure you check out the other shows on our network, like Dork Physique and Secret Underground Hideout, which has their...
Apocalypse Now.
Apocalypse Now. And also Secret Underground Hideout did their, I think, their 31 days of... or their 31 horror movies.
31 horror films.
Yeah.
And
Kevin's
on Kevin was part of that.
Yep. So definitely check out Secret Underground Hideout. You'll find more information on The Dorkening. And with that, Jessica, I want to thank you so much for joining us evening. Make sure you go out and purchase a copy of American Guinea Pig Song of Solomon. It's available on Amazon right now. And we'll catch you guys later. Bye.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you for joining.
Great having you.
I hope you enjoyed this show. If you did, please make sure you subscribe to the show wherever you listen to your podcast. If you want to be part of a future show, you can find us over on YouTube or Facebook, where we broadcast all our episodes multiple times a week live in front of an online audience, where you can interact with us and our guests. Our main show, The Dorkening, is produced live on Sundays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. The Wicked Horror Show comes at you Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And The Ultimate Video Game Show zooms in on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. This has been a Dorkening Network production powered by New Media Promotions. You can learn more about our network by heading on over to www.thedorkening.com.